the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys.
Morning.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. And, you know, today is the feast of St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland. And a little shout out for our friend Norman Fauchet that we visited with last week. If you have not been to St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland in Albany, Louisiana, you should check it out. Father Jamin David is the pastor there, and Father Paul Gross is the parochial vicar. And they have, they had artwork from Norman, amazing, beautiful. You can go to their website and see some of it there, stmargaretsthomas.com. So there's two parishes. It's a stmargaretsthomas.com. It is beautiful. So we'll begin this morning with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who made St. Margaret of Scotland wonderful in her understanding, charity towards the poor, grant that through her intercession and example, we may reflect among all humanity the image of your divine goodness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Margaret of Scotland, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have some wonderful events happening in our listening area, so we'll give you details on those. We're joined by Deacon Jeff Tully. He's a CEO of Notre Dame Health Systems in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he's going to give us his monthly update. It's a time of giving and being with each other, so I'm so excited to get an update from Deacon Tully today. Steve Ray joins us. He's a Catholic convert, traveler, and speaker. He's talking about a very interesting topic. Is the Pope infallible, and what does that mean? And is any Pope beyond criticism? So Steve is going to dive into this topic, answer this question. This is going to be a good one, you guys.
That's a great topic,
and
yes,
it is. And Richard Meek, editor of the Catholic Commentator with the Diocese of Baton Rouge, joins us to give us their bi-weekly issue update of what you'll find in the Catholic Commentator this week. And they have some great, great stories. Always looking forward to speaking with Richard, Damian. So it's going to be a great interview, I think.
Richard's always fun to chat with, as is Steve Ray. A little fog this morning, weather-wise. Clouds this morning giving way to plenty of sunshine this afternoon, pretty much like yesterday. Got a little cloudy yesterday afternoon, but still was very nice to be outside. Going to be a little windy, though. 5 to 10 mile an hour winds coming out of the south-southeast. High today, 79. Low's going to be 60. Tomorrow, another notch or two warmer than we had, we'll have today, and it's warmer today than it was yesterday. That's because we've got another front coming through, coming up on Thursday. Going to get a little rain at that time, but it won't last long, and then we're going to have another beautiful weekend. Current temperatures around the area. Home of Thibodeau, it's 55. On the North Shore, it is 52. New Orleans, the warm spot, 60 degrees already today. And Baton Rouge, it's currently 53. So those are your temperatures. You guys get on out there and prepare accordingly.
Sounds definitely good.
Thanks so much, Damian. If you have events happening in your church, parish, or community, then let us know. It's absolutely free to submit an event. You can go to ccradio.live under the events tab. We've been getting so many, so check out our events calendar as well at our website. Again, ccradio.live under events. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It's 7:05 on Wake Up.
good Tuesday morning to you. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 19. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He is gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Zacchaeus was the leader of the tax collectors in his district. Tax collectors were men entirely abandoned to greed, whose only goal was to increase their wealth. St. Paul likened avarice to idolatry. Because these men shamelessly and openly exercised this vice, the Lord himself joined them with prostitutes, saying to the religious leaders of the Jews, "The prostitutes and tax collectors go before you into the kingdom of God." In today's gospel, we discover Exhibit A, a tax collector who followed Jesus all the way into the kingdom of God. St. Jerome reflected, "There certainly is much truth in the saying of the philosopher, every rich man is either wicked or the heir of wickedness." Then he added, "That is why the Lord and Savior says that it is difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." Someone may raise the objection, how did worthy Zacharias enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, he gave away his wealth and immediately replaced it with the riches of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord and Savior did not say the rich would not enter the kingdom of heaven, but that they will enter with difficulty. So Zacchaeus had a double challenge in seeing Jesus. He was short in stature and shorter in virtue. However, grace was pulling at his heart. He came to see Jesus out of curiosity, but Zacchaeus made a big step, for he had the courage to put aside his dignity as a powerful tax collector to climb a tree. Isn't it marvelous how Jesus meets us wherever we are, even in a sycamore tree? Their eyes met. The little man with lots of money, but with a big hole in his heart, and Jesus, the greatest lover. They would dine together, anticipating the heavenly banquet of the Lamb's wedding. Zacchaeus heard the healing words, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Zacchaeus's life would never again be the same. And now, for the rest of the story. According to an ancient tradition, St. Peter consecrated Zacchaeus as the Bishop of Caesarea. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's gospel and reflection. It's one of my favorite gospels, even as a kid. I love hearing about Zacchaeus, so thank you so much for that. We are in the giving season. I Give Catholic Advanced Giving is happening right now, so you can go to igivecatholic.org. It's actually a 24-hour online day of giving on Giving Tuesday, which is Tuesday, November the 30th. However, if you're going to be out of town, or you're not going to be by your computer during this giving day, then you can give in advance. You can go to igivecatholic.org and search Catholic Community Radio in the search box and donate online. Your card will not be charged until the actual giving day of Tuesday, November 30th. So take a look at our giving needs and prayerfully consider. So Damian, it's a wonderful time of the year, and this is our fifth or sixth year doing I Give, or participating, yes, in I Give Catholic.
It's a good way to give. you know, and, yes. and you really help out a lot of causes. It's worth going mm-hmm. to see what, what's out there. Also, just a quick note, Sweet Dreams is underway. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary, mm-hmm. St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge, when their dream came true when they were able to open up the Sweet Dreams shelter for women yeah. and children. It's a great opportunity because they've expanded to the homeless mothers and children now. And what they're doing is they're able to, if you have a family that's intact, or if you're a single parent and head of the family, could be a father, not just a mother and a child, they're willing to take you in and help you out. So it's a great opportunity. Go to SVDBR. Well, I never get those dang SVDP. Initials right. Say it.
SVDPBR.
Yeah, that's it. I've got it typed wrong here, and I'm trying to
that's okay.
translate Saint it. SVDPBR.org to make a financial gift or turn that homeless opportunity into a sweet dream.
Aww,
yeah, so.
I love that.
And you've got
that's
your...
I do, but you know, before I want to tell you about the Solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, Solemn Mass and Eucharistic Procession. That's happening this Sunday, November 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. at St. Peter's Parish in Covington. So everyone's invited. This is their 26th annual Solemn Mass and Candlelight Eucharistic Procession. Doesn't that sound beautiful? It's celebrating the Solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. So you can call the St. Peter Rectory or go to their website. The website is stpeterparish.com to find out more information about that. And the next Saturday, the 27th of November, is My Soul in Stillness Waits, Catholic Community Radio's Women's Advent Retreat. It's still time to make reservations for that. You can check it out at ccradio.live. It's on the homepage there. We'll start with Mass from Father Chris Decker. Bishop Duca, Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, will be there. Kitty Cleveland, Sister Dulce. It's an all-star lineup.
Wow.
So, and last that's but not next least, week.
What's that?
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's the next weekend. That's crazy.
I know we mentioned it yesterday, but Jacob Zumo is having his soft opening entitled A Sacred Showing, and it's going to be at his new gallery. It's located at 9530 Interline. It's on the second floor, and it's this Friday, as I said, from 6 to 10 p.m. So if you get a chance and you're looking for some sacred art and some great gifts for the holidays, well, you'll be able to find them there, I'm pretty sure.
That's right. And Baton Rouge right off of I-12.
Yeah, right off I-12 on Interline.
It's 7:15. Thanks so much for tuning in to Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Margaret of Scotland. A daughter of the Anglo-Saxon prince, Margaret first met her future husband when her family was shipwrecked off the coast of Scotland. For the most part, Margaret and King Malcolm, who married in 1070 when she was about 20, were happy together. Malcolm was good-hearted, but rough and uncultured, as was Scotland itself. As a wife, she was able to soften the king's temper, polish his manners, and help him become a virtuous ruler. She also influenced her adopted country, promoting the arts and education. Together, the royal couple founded several churches. Margaret took religious reform seriously, working to correct abuses among priests and laity. As a mother, she personally supervised the religious instruction of her 6 sons and 2 daughters. The queen's private life was austere. She ate sparingly and slept little in order to have more time for devotions. On the way home from Mass, Margaret would wash the feet of 6 poor persons and give them alms. In public, she was always surrounded by beggars, and she never refused them. Margaret died in 1093, 4 days after her beloved husband was killed in battle. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quipido and Damian Collado. And over the phone, we're very much excited to welcome Deacon Jeff Tully. He's the CEO of Notre Dame Health Systems over in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he's going to give us his monthly update. We're going to get a sneak peek of what they're up to. Good morning, Deacon Tully.
Good morning, Gabby. How are you today?
I am doing great. How is everything over at Notre Dame Health Systems?
It's doing great. It's doing great. You know, we have our challenges just like everybody else does, but we're excited mm-hmm. about some new things that are on the horizon as well.
Yeah, I want to dive into that real quick, but I want to start off with this big announcement. Deacon Tully, St. Anthony Gardens is now an affiliate with Notre Dame Health System. That's pretty big.
Yes, it is big. It's a great opportunity for us to bring these two ministries in the Archdiocese kind of together with regards to an affiliation, and so that we can learn from each other and truly have the resources that both of them bring to the table and kind of learn from each other and grow in order to help take care of the people God puts in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Absolutely.
You know, our affiliation,
yes, it is.
It's still, we have two completely different ministries, two different boards, two different independent ministries, but the collaboration that we can share with each other is fabulous. And so part of what my role will be is to kind of bring those together and say, what are we doing in Notre Dame Health System that we can use those resources, that expertise, those people to help us with St. Anthony's Gardens and vice versa? What are we doing at St. Anthony's Gardens that we are successful in doing that we can use in Notre Dame Health System? And still allowing mm-hmm. the two ministries to have their independence, but coming together as the Archdiocese. It's exciting time for us. Super exciting.
It really is. For those who aren't familiar, Deacon Tully, kind of talk about the role of St. Anthony Gardens in the Archdiocese.
Sure. St. Anthony's Gardens is located, it's on the North Shore. It's adjacent to Most Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Covington. So if you were going on the North Shore, it's located behind Lakeview Regional Medical Center, back in that area and property that the Archdiocese has. And St. Anthony's Gardens has independent living apartments. It has assisted living. We have memory care. It's not a nursing home. It's assisted living, independent living. And we also have 36 memory care neighborhood beds. So it's an exciting thing. It's bringing people together from all aspects. And it gives us a setting on the North Shore as well. And now it celebrates this month, St. Anthony's Garden celebrates 5 years in existence over there.
Oh,
so it's a new facility.
Great.
It's a gorgeous facility. We're working together to take care of God's people.
Absolutely. I actually had the opportunity to take a tour of St. Anthony Gardens. Beautiful, beautiful grounds. So everyone is so sweet and so nice. So that's great to hear. Let's talk about the enhancement over at Winehoven Healthcare Campus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Winehoven is located across from West Jefferson Hospital over in Marrero. And we're looking at redoing things on that whole campus over there. Right now, we currently have just a nursing home. So we have a Winehoven Healthcare Campus. And on that campus, we're going to be adding St. Andrew's Village. It's an exciting mm-hmm. part for us to be able to add. St. Anthony's Village will be a secure community where adults with developmentally disabilities can live, they can work, they can worship, they can socialize. And we'll have 2 8-bed houses there that it's not institutional, it's a home for them. And that's exciting. That's very exciting for us. It's something that's brand new for us. We are, we have financing for that. We have, our plans are done. So we're now ready to begin the process of clearing grounds and begin groundbreaking. We put a sign up by West Jefferson. Eventually, we'll have access off of Barrett Terrier Boulevard over in there. It's just going to be something that we can add and something that we as an archdiocese have not done before in order to be able to take care of them in that type of setting. You know, it's a special place for God's special children.
My goodness. Wow. Definitely take a look at that. I want to focus on this. We've touched a little bit in the past on the 3 C's. Tell us what those are and how important they are to Notre Dame Health Systems.
Well, we focus on that, and it's something about caring. It's important that all we do and every one of our staff, that we focus on caring, because that's what we're charged to do. We don't have a job. We have a ministry to care for God's people. So we have to care for them the way that their loved ones would care for them. We have to find Jesus in every person we care for, but more importantly, we have to be Jesus for all those people. And we have to do it with compassion, and compassion filled with love. And so our second C is compassion. And we say we want to do everything we do in the way that Jesus would do it, in a Christ-like manner. So we focus on caring, compassionate, and Christ-like in everything that we do. And we ask ourselves, you know, if we do this, if we make this policy or this procedure or this practice, does it meet our three C's? Does it help us to still care for the people that are coming to us for care? Can we do what we're supposed to do with the compassion of Jesus? And can we do it the way that Jesus wants us to do it, in that Christ-like manner? And it's a big thing for us. It's going to be a part of our whole performance evaluation, how we look at everything we do, how we make decisions, how we create policies. And part of what I want to be able to do is to take those three C's and expand them into St. Anthony's Gardens as well. You know, how do we do that to take care of people?
Yeah. Okay, so this holiday season is a little bit different than the last one. Will the residents of Notre Dame Health Systems be able to receive guests for Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Yeah, we believe they will. Yes, we are focusing on that. CMS has changed some rules, and so that's Medicare and Medicaid, and they have said, you know, we should be able to have visitors. And so we are focusing on that. We want people to come together. We want them to be with their families. We also want them to be safe, and we want them to be secure. So obviously we have to have, because we're a healthcare organization, the mask mandate stays in place. But we can still bring people in. You can come and hug your relatives, hug your loved ones, be there with them. And that's important. Yeah. The whole camaraderie of family and everybody being together helps people to heal, helps people to have a better life when they have loved ones with them.
Absolutely.
At times during the pandemic when we couldn't have visitors, it was heartbreaking to see, you know, people at one time, people couldn't even come down and eat in community settings. They had to eat in their rooms. Past that now. We're past that, and now we can bring them in. They can eat with other people. They can visit with families.
Wow, what a light. Okay, let's talk about this. You have employment opportunities over at Notre Dame Health Systems and St. Anthony Garden Facilities. For those who are interested, tell our listeners what that's all about.
So we do have opportunities. We have opportunities to come and work in the ministry. And so we ask people to, you know, are you looking for a job? Are you looking for a calling? And we want people who have a calling to take care of God's people. And we have a plethora of jobs, whether they're clinical, non-clinical, driving buses, being nurses, being CNAs, working in our food service to help us, working in housekeeping. And we have them across the board. We have them in St. Anthony's Gardens, and we have them in every aspect of Notre Dame Health System. Right now, employment is tough. Every industry is looking for people to work. We want people who are looking to make a difference in the lives of another human being. And we want those people to come and share life with us, and share life with us to take care of others as a ministry. And we want them just to be there if they want to be there. You have to have a heart of Jesus to come work with us.
Wow. Okay, so where can they go to find out more information on employment opportunities, maybe see if one of these facilities is the right place for their loved one? Deacon Tully, where can they go?
The best way is to call our 800 number. It's 888-673-9003. They can also go to our website, NotreDameHealth.org, and St. Anthony's Gardens website. And if they don't remember those, they can also go to the Archdiocese of New Orleans website, NOLA Catholic, and there's links on those. So everyone is linked together.
All right. And I will post a phone number in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, but I have the website on there as well. Deacon Tully, CEO of Notre Dame Health Systems over in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. What a positive, beautiful update. And thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving to you and your family, and a wonderful start to your Advent.
Thank you, Gabby. Same to you and all of you at Catholic Radio. We appreciate all that you do each day.
Thank you so much. Wow. Some great updates, you guys. You can take a look over. St. Anthony Gardens has some beautiful grounds. Go over to St. Peter's in Covington and go to Mass there. And it's just a beautiful facility. So they're lucky to have Deacon Tully over there. It's going to be a great one. But, yeah, lots of stuff going on, you guys.
That's right. You know, we didn't get a chance to mention earlier the Taste and See cookbook, Food for the Soul.
Yeah.
So that's another St. Vincent de Paul Society in Baton Rouge. They're announcing this publication of their first cookbook, Taste and See, Food for Body and Soul. It's a hardcover book with a collection of recipes from local cooks, with special section containing recipes from our good friend, Chef John Foles. Check that out at svdpbr.org, and you can find out all kind of information about that. Cookbook is only $10. So
it is.
Check it out.
And everybody's looking to come up with new recipes for the holidays.
It's a great opportunity.
Get the book, help out a cause.
Yeah.
Feed the family.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. I love it. 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. With a Supreme Court hearing of the Dobbs v. Jackson case looming, abortion rhetoric is tailored to make Mississippi regulation of abortion appear freakish. But an attorney's group says the international landscape offers much-needed context. Mississippi is far from alone in legislating to protect life. ADF International says the U.S. is among the smallest minority of nations in its strong embrace of abortion. Reinforcing conscience rights, the Fifth Circuit, with increased vigor over last week's similar ruling, says the White House may not use OSHA mandate to impose vaccination on over half of U.S. workers. The court's language seemed to target Biden administration indifference to last week's ruling. While White House rhetoric on the mandate remains bold and confident, the president's strong disapproval polling numbers tell a different story. This week, U.S. Catholic bishops are meeting. Many bishops have asked for prayer as they take on the issue of public scandal, public sin, and the public nature of communion received in Catholic Mass. This is Life News Radio. Hoping to incrementally turn Texas into another abortion-friendly blue state, Beto O'Rourke is running for Texas governor. This despite strong polling favoring the recent Texas heartbeat abortion ban that runs counter to O'Rourke's long-standing and fervent embrace of abortion legislation. And Wesley Smith says he spots a con job in assisted suicide rhetoric that promises strict guidelines for new legislation that allows the weak to be pushed into arranged ending of life. The latest effort is a new federal court action brought by euthanasia advocates that would effectively grant all patients access to Oregon State assisted suicide. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
7:35, Tuesday morning, November 16th. Welcome, everyone, to Wake Up. So glad you could join us. Damian Colado along with Gabby Smith and Alicia Quivido. And right now, it's our good friend Steve Ray, Catholic convert, traveler, speaker, and just all-around nice guy. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Damien, and it's good to talk with you here in very cold Michigan.
Oh, I bet it is cold there.
Yes,
well,
it is.
Anytime you want to come to South Louisiana, you're more than welcome.
I've been there a lot of times doing talks and things, and I always love it down there. Not only do I love the weather, not in the summertime, I don't think I'd like your weather, but in the wintertime. So if you want to invite me to come down and speak, do so in December, January, February.
The snowbird season. We're with you. All right. Well, we're going to talk today about a topic that I think is always on the minds of people, but don't really know how to broach the subject. Mm-hmm. So the topic is the Pope infallible? What does it mean? And is any Pope beyond criticism? Now, that part, I think everybody's got an opinion sometimes. But we'll start with the beginning. Is the Pope infallible, Steve?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. He does not have the ability to predict the weather or the football scores next month. So he's, and when he's on walking around, he's an average guy in that sense. He doesn't have anything more than you and I have, but he does, as the pastor of the church, a divine charism that when he, under very certain circumstances, defines doctrine, has to be in the area of faith and morals, can't be on nature or how trees grow or immigration and those kind of things. It has to be on issues of faith and morals. He has to want to define or intend to define a doctrine as the pastor of the church. He has to do it of his own free will. So there are these conditions that are there that when he does say, I am now defining something that is incumbent upon all Christians to believe for their salvation. This is what happened with the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Mary, these kind of doctrines when they're... But on a daily basis, when he's on an airplane doing interviews with people, he's not infallible. Now, we also realize that as the Holy Father, we always have, out of respect for the chair of Peter and the office and the charism that God's given, always give deference to the Pope, but realize that he's only infallible under very certain and limited conditions.
Yes, and when was the last? Was it the Assumption of Mary when that was actually a decree?
Yep, and that was, I think, on my birthday or the year of my birth, and it was, that was, and he didn't just, what Protestants think, let me back up a little bit. I used to be a Protestant, of course, a Baptist, and we think, well, the Pope didn't have anything to do today, so he just created a new doctrine. Just sat in a chair, Peter, and said, what do I do today? Well, let's come up with something cool. Let's say that Mary was assumed into heaven, and so he declares it, and everybody has to believe it. But that's not at all the case. This was something that was believed by the church from the beginning. It was part of the deposit of faith. And it was taught by the popes and the doctors of the church from very early on. And when that was promulgated, all of the bishops of the church were on board, or almost all of them, and many of them supported it and even begged the Holy Father to do that. So it wasn't something that's done on the spur of the moment or an impulse. It's something that is studied and done under careful consideration. And popes, also, any pope today has more limitations on him than the popes before him does. So it's not that he has more and more free to do whatever he wants, because not only is he restricted by scripture and tradition and the councils of the church, the 21 ecumenical councils, but by the infallible decrees and even the authoritative teachings of the popes before him, he is now. So it's actually, he's narrower. The authority is narrower in a sense, or his teaching, because he is constrained by the past tradition and scripture and so on.
Yes, and a lot of times it's when the bishops all get together as well, and they look at doctrine and make those decisions. And a lot of times it's the input that the Pope gets, as well as from the Holy Spirit, right?
That and the councils of the church are also, the church and her councils and the Pope, these, when the church speaks authoritatively, like in the councils, then these become authoritative teachings for us. And the reason that we have that, of course, is if you look at Protestantism, what do you have? You have 40,000-plus different groups out there all claiming to be following the same Holy Spirit, reading the same book, and they're the ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. And you have all this confusion. We have in the Catholic Church, even though we are all under one roof with one Holy Father and with the bishops of our diocese and so on, we still have arguments in-house, but we're still under one roof. And that's why we have a pope, is to bring unity and cohesiveness to the whole overall body of Christ, the Catholic Church.
Yeah, so that leads us to, is the pope beyond criticism? And boy,
That's a good question, and I say no, he's not. Out of deference, though, we always do with deference to the Holy Father, but we can go right to Scripture to get a clear example. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it says that Paul, writing, said in public, he confronted Peter to his face because he stood condemned. There was something that Peter was doing. We don't have time to go into it now. He was shunning the Gentiles, and that's what he was doing. But he had taught that Gentiles do not need to be circumcised in order to be saved, that they are equal to the Jews. But when when he was among Jews, he'd always kind of go over and sit at the Jewish table and avoid the Gentiles. And Paul says, you're being a hypocrite. And he confronted him in public about this. Mm-hmm. Paul was not the Pope. Peter was the Pope. Paul even had respect for him because the name Cephas means rock. So mm-hmm. Paul says, I went up to see the rock. And I confronted him to his face. In other words, I'm recognizing his authority, but I'm also recognizing that he's not living or teaching up to what he's already declared to be true. So then we follow that along, and even the catechism today says that the lay people, based on the dignity that they have through their baptism and being lay people in the church, have the right and even the duty to confront or to address issues with their pastors.
Yes, and that's it's good. I think that's important.
It is.
Do you find that the Pope is getting too much criticism right now? And is that because of the way the media sometimes distorts his statements?
I think of course the secular media is always twisting and trying to do things. We also have language difficulties because he doesn't speak mm-hmm. English, and it gets translated, and people mm-hmm. translate things. That's actually a art that is fraught with danger, translating. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that he says things that are confusing. I don't think that he is always clear, and he doesn't clarify things. Like, for example, when Joe Biden is there, and Joe Biden comes out and says, the Pope said I'm a Catholic in good standing, and I should keep taking communion. Mm-hmm. Well, if the Pope wants there to not be criticism, he should be clear about what he actually said to do, instead of mm-hmm. saying that it was a private meeting and I'm not going to say. And then it leaves us all to say, well, did the Pope just say that Biden, who's Pelosi, who are promoting abortion, should be given communion and that they are good? Then it causes scandal and it causes confusion. So mm-hmm. I think there is an element of the press and the language difficulties always working against us, but I think also popes need, they are the clarifying voice, the definers, and when things happen, popes should be very clear and make it very clear to the faithful what they said and what the mm-hmm. church teaches and how it's to be implemented. So I think it's a little bit of confusion on both sides.
Yes. And before we wrap up, I know you always like to tell us where the next adventure is going to be with mm-hmm. Steve Ray. So where are you headed? Steve, you there? Did we lose him?
I bet he's heading someplace great. Maybe he was heading.
Apparently, he had to hurry up and take off.
He left early.
Yes, we didn't realize he was waiting in the airport.
That's right.
Well, I know he's got. Go to his website if you want, and I guarantee you, you'll be able to find out where those adventures are.
Yeah.
He takes great pilgrims. I know he's going to Israel, mm-hmm. Back to the Holy Land. With that being said, what is your thought real quick on the Pope?
You know, I agree everything that he said, but I've always thought, he's back on. Hello, nope. Steve. We lost you for a second.
Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Real quick, current pilgrimages that you have planned.
Well, we've got one going January 7th, and that's going to be a beauty if someone wants to go, because it's going to only be a small group, and we're going to own Israel. There's not going to be anybody there because people aren't going yet. We're one of the first groups to go back, and it's only going to be a small, intimate group, and we're going to no lines or crowds anywhere. So over Christmas in December or January 7th, our bus trip in April is already sold out.
Wow.
Well, Steve Ray, thanks for joining us.
Good morning at 7:48. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And we are joined this morning by Richard Meek. He is the editor of the Catholic Commentator. That is the biweekly Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Hope everyone is well.
We are. It's great to have you on this morning. And it looks to me like the Catholic Commentator is jam-packed with amazing stories for this weekend. So let's start off. You know, we here, the staff at Catholic Community Radio, participated in 40 Days for Life Baton Rouge and prayed outside of a Delta Abortion Clinic. You have an article about it and about how 40 Days for Life saved many lives. Tell us more about that.
Yes, Darryl Nicodi, he's the director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Diocese. And he said he really believes that, and that's what his quote was, many lives were saved. Mm-hmm. And he said equally as important was a witness value of the people who came to pray and support. Then he said, what was interesting was the closing prayer service, October 31st, it was not planned this way, but it was the day before the Supreme Court heard opening arguments on a Texas heartbeat law. He said, you know, obviously the timing was important. And he said he thought that might have been guided by a holy, higher power, which I think is a very good point. And he just he talked about, one of the things he did talk about was the takeaway of the volunteers, that how moved they were throughout the entire time. You know, if they were there for a few hours, if they were there for a day, and several people came up and just want to continue to volunteer in a pro-life movement. Yes. And so that's just awesome, because the more we have, that's a good thing. That's and so he was really impressed with that. It was just, he said it was very good. It's a very good 40 days for life this year.
That's wonderful. Do you know, I know that there's a whiteboard inside the tent there for 40 days for life, and they track how many babies were saved. Do you know what that number is?
No, okay. I do not. I okay. do know that they do that every year.
Yes.
But he did not have a total. Okay. For this year.
Okay, well, we'll find out what that might be. It's an amazing, I hate to say event, but it's an amazing time. So many people gathered praying for the one purpose, and really to change the hearts and really to be there for those women who are in need.
Correct. So, yes. And he said everybody was peaceful.
Yes.
There were no, even when there could have been some antagonistic situations, he said no one, everybody just sort of kept a level head, and that was great. I think one of the comments he did make, though, was the people that were coming out of the Delta Clinic, walking in or coming out, he said there wasn't a smile on their face. You could just see the sadness in their faces.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel that.
Right.
Wow. Well, Richard, we have are celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Cathedral of St. Joseph in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And so Bishop Duca has a column talking about that. Tell us more about that one.
Yeah, it was well written, because he talks about the Catholic history of the diocese began with the building of an altar. And he talked about how the French missionaries way back when, and Jeff, despite what you think, I wasn't there to cover that when it hit the ground. So he talks about that really, that was the beginning, was actually a building of an altar. And he talks about even from the time of Abraham and the Last Supper, he talks about people gathering around an altar in the Holy Spirit to hear the gospel and to encounter Christ. Mm-hmm. And he talks about at the altar, you discover new ways to bring Christ to others. And if you don't begin at the altar, then the foundation will be built on sand and not succeed. And at the altar, you can discover the mission for the next 60 years and find the hope and the forgiveness and the grace. Very well written. I think a good, powerful message.
Wow.
I think it just strikes at every person in the diocese.
Well, that'll be a great one to read. Well, speaking of St. Joseph, you also have an article about Advent as seen through the eyes of St. Joseph. I'm so curious about this.
Yeah, we just took a little bit of a unique take on this. And really, we interview people and talk about how the year of St. Joseph is really an opportunity for Catholics to allow the silent carpenter man. I actually think this is a great way to talk about St. Joseph, right?
Yes.
How he was and to lead us to the original nativity scene and have a profession, a fresh and profound faith at Christmas. And the story talks about how God chose a strong, sturdy man like St. Joseph to protect the Holy Family. And, because, look, he was the one, I like this, that he was the one that was in charge, so to speak, of protecting the newborn Christ on the journey, who was so vulnerable. And so St. Joseph alone stood between Jesus and the darkness of Herod's soldiers. And I think a great statement was God kicked Adam and Eve out the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. But to save mankind, it would take the perfect wife and mother.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, God chose St. Joseph as being the perfect father, so to speak, to help Jesus to be the perfect son, mm-hmm. especially in terms of humanity. And I think there's some powerful messages in there. It's a different perspective on Lent, one that I hadn't really thought about before. So I think people will get something out of it.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You also have a story about Afghan refugees, and I know that we have some folks who are refugees from Afghanistan in our community. So tell us about that story.
Yes, this is a gentleman that Catholic Charities helped, especially provided assistance once he got on American soil. And he said through just a series of events, he's now living in Bossier City. But he left Afghanistan. He just felt like he had worked with the U.S. military forces over there as an interpreter. So he also worked for the Afghan government. So he talked about how once the Taliban took over and they overthrew the government, he knew that they were going to find him, and he was just going to die.
Yes.
He had worked with the State Department. And they were working on something for him to try to get him out. And then he took matters into his own hands. Yeah. And it's really sort of a harrowing story of how he got from his apartment to the airport. Uh-huh. And at one point, he told his taxi driver to run a Taliban security checkpoint. So I'm thinking that's not really a good idea.
Right, right. Well, that will be a great one to read this weekend. So Richard Beek, the editor of the Catholic Commentator, the newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge, where can we pick up a copy?
Well, back at church, certainly. And then, probably more than 100 retail outlets throughout the city, throughout the diocese. Or you can either go to news.diobr.org or on our website.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Richard Beek, editor of the Catholic Commentator, the Catholic newspaper for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Pick up one this weekend. It's full of wonderful stories, Damien.
Yep. That's how you keep in touch with what's going on in our diocese.
You're right.
Richard does a great job of finding the stories that are of interest. That being said, it is time to wrap up our morning. Tuesday morning, we're going to wrap up with a prayer to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, creator of all things, you have entrusted to women and to men the responsibility over all your creation. Grant, we beseech you, that by the example and protection of good and faithful St. Joseph, we may perform the work you expect of us and obtain to the rewards that you promise. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father,
Amen.
Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Joseph,
pray for us and protect us.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.